Bibles and turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 here in a moment. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet? Slip your hand up. One down front here. All righty. Anybody else? Slip your hand up. John chapter 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And we know it talks about John there, but it says that he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them to believe on his name. And now you go jump down to verse 14, it says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, to have actually come from the Father, full of grace and truth. We were down helping my mom clean out the attic and my dad's shop on the weekend. And, of course, we got a lot of stuff to do yet. We had a whole dumpster full of stuff, but that's there's lots of stuff there. And we're throwing out good stuff. That's part of the problem, you know. You got to go through each pan of stuff. But anyway, my mom said, she walked up behind me, and she calls me Sterl. Don't call me Sterl. But she calls me Sterl, and she says, Sterl, you look more like your father every day. And I said, I guess that's a compliment, but I do. I look more like my father every day because I am begotten of my father. I have my father's blood, my father's genes, my father's DNA running through me. And again, if you were to hear me, you were to hear my father, you would say, well, they sound alike. They look a lot alike. They walk alike. They think alike. They do this little thing with their chin alike. You know, if you're thinking, you do this. If you're thinking harder, you do this. If you're thinking really hard, you pull your ear. I don't know why. I just do. I watched my dad do that for years and laughed at him, and I do the same thing. I'm talking with my hands, and, you know, I'm doing this kind of stuff. We have a video of my father. We had a big crowd of folks at the house there. I mean, he just loved to open up his place and just... He had a nice place there, and I would love to open up and bring a crowd in, and we got this, he had a crew on, he had the antique cars out, and he had his calliope down there and all this stuff going, you know, and we took a video, closed in, and we were way across there, and he's talking to somebody, and he's, you know, just really going to it, and I see myself doing the exact same thing all the time, and you're going to see where I'm going with this here in a few moments. Let's read John chapter 3. We're going to read 10 verses. There's so much more. We know that there's John 3:16. We're not getting that far yet. There's something else I want us to see here, and I'm afraid we're only going to get about halfway of that. In fact, I'm pretty sure we're going to be halfway. But this is something that I have talked about many times, and we think about, and we kind of nod our in agreement to. But I really want to kind of pin it down here tonight. And be honest with you, you have an opportunity here that a lot of folks didn't take advantage of by not being here tonight. But I want you to, it's not just a great message, it's more of a Bible study, but it's very deep, it's not deep, it's just very integral part of the Christian life, and I want you to see it here. John chapter 3, verse number 1, says, there was a man of the Pharisees. That's a sect of the Jews that was, what we would call the conservatives. They keep the law. They down to the letter, every little thing, even if it didn't make sense, really. Even if it didn't make sense, they did their very best to do what they thought it meant. Now, they didn't really know what it meant. It meant a whole lot more. It meant something different than what they made it out a lot often. But the fact is, they did their best. In fact, the Bible talks, keep the Word of God as frontless to your eyes and, you know, so forth. So they literally would hold stuff things and at the forehead and frontlets, and they literally have little phylacteries, you know, on the back of their hands. And, you know, when we're reading Deuteronomy, it says it should be right all those different places. So they literally did that, even if it looked silly, because they were trying to do the letter of the law. And so these are somebody who read it, but the fact is the understanding that they had was different than what God was trying to teach them. But the fact is they were trying within the understanding that they had to obey. You got to give them credit for that. I wish today's Christians would do it, even if they didn't understand it. Well, that's stupid. I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not going to go ahead. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, you know, you got folks who say, well, I've got to dress like the world. Everybody else does. If I don't dress like the world, they'll think I'm weird. Some of you know, remember Deb and Tony Mangus, and they were here when we got here, and basically helped keep the doors open. And Deb was always very modest in her appearance, and she tended to wear her dresses pretty close to her ankles, you know. I mean, very seldom was a whole lot higher than that. And then she just wanted to make sure she was well within the range of modesty. And she said a couple of times she was down at the grocery store, and someone said, are you a member of a cult or something? And he said, why you say that? Well, look at the way you dress. Are you, you know? And she said, no, just like be modest. You know, but the fact is, you got to appreciate the fact that somebody wanted to do right, even if I'm not saying she was wrong in the way she did it. I'm saying that for the Pharisees, they did something, even though it was different than everybody else, they were willing to do it. Verse number two, Nicodemus, he was named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. So he was a high ranking there. Number two, the same came to Jesus by night. Probably a little scared of the Jews. Later in the ministry, you'll find that the blind guy, his parents didn't want to really own up to him just in case they would be cast out of the synagogue. Yeah. And later on in Nicodemus's life, I said, well, have you believed? Somebody else ever had believed? He simply said, well, should we really, you know, condemn a man before we know what he did? And they jumped all over him. So I can understand why he came at night. He's wanted to know truth. He had enough nerve to come by night. The only one we have that we know of that came looking for him all by himself like this. But so he came. He said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, of course, you always know that means truly. So I'm going to tell you the truth here. This is verily, verily. He says, now, this is really the truth. This is the truth. Grab a hold of it. It's all truth, nothing but the truth. It's an important truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is very important here. This is the truth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when you think about those two verses, what does one have to do with the other? That's always, you know, that's kind of a funny little thing. We'll talk about it there in a minute. Verse number four, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter to the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, very true here. I say unto thee, you're going to reword it here, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. And that word marvel says, don't be amazed. Don't be stunned. Don't be knocked over like a leaf, you know, with a leaf. It says, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye, and some of you don't like our ye's and thou's and thee's and so forth. Ye means y'all. Okay? In fact, if you're down south, it means all y'all. Okay? It's not y'all. Up here, you got yous, and you got yous guys and yous guyses and, you know, so forth. But anyway, ye means all y'all, the whole bunch of you. Well, who's he talking? There's only one guy standing there. Who's he talking about? He's a ruler of the Jews. He's a representative of the Jewish people. He's a representative of the Pharisaical community and the leadership. He says, don't be surprised, but you know, you all here, he just cleansed the temple, didn't he? That was last week. He just cleansed the temple. He walks in the town, the first thing he does, he goes right to the temple and shoots out all these people, and you know that they didn't like that. In fact, a little bit later, the scribe of the Pharisees, who gives you authority to do this? The Pharisees said, who gives you the authority to do this? And then one of them shows up at night and says, I know you're from God. Because if you weren't from God, you couldn't do these kind of things. So what's up? So he says, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Look at verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? We're going to stop there and we're going to see how far we can go. I'm trying to keep you late. Let's pray. We're talking about born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the truths that are in it. And Lord, you said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And Lord, I know that the disciples asked him, why do you talk in parables? Why do you teach in parables? He said, for those who have ears to hear. And so, Lord, there's some few things in here that almost seem like they're spoken in code. But, Lord, you've got them here for those who have ears to hear, those who want to rightly divide the word of truth, those who truly want to know truth, as Nicodemus wanted to. But he still spoke in a way that you have to be willing to accept truth and desire truth to really understand the truth. And so, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit tonight to speak to us. We're talking about him, and we need him to teach us and lead us. So, Spirit, please meet with us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The Old Testament is our schoolmaster, teaching us that we're sinners, and that there's none righteous, no, not one. That really is, now, the Old Testament tells us about things to come at the end times and all those kind of things, where we came from in Genesis and all those things. It gives us a lot of things. But the main thing about the Old Testament and all the law and all those kind of things is to teach us that we're sinners, where there's none righteous, no, not one. That we are of our flesh, there's no good thing in us. Now, we have all gone out of the way. We followed our own paths, kind of as Isaiah 53 talks about. There's none righteous, no, not one, and even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, God doesn't tell us all that to make us feel bad, at least not forever. He wants to help us to deal with reality. We're not God, and we don't measure up to be God. And somehow we just think we're just fine all by ourselves. The problem is we have a rude awakening when we enter into eternity and find out there's no place there for us in God's presence because nothing could go into his presence that defileth. So we're kind of stuck. So he wants to fix that because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we're not going to have everlasting life unless we're born again. God wants us to live righteously, but within us there is no way we can. And if you think you can, you don't understand righteousness. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. I want to, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That's Paul. Ezekiel 36:26 says this. Ezekiel, it's Old Testament. Prophet. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That's the game plan. Why? He taught us that we're none is righteous, no, not one, to make us ready so that when John the Baptist comes to prepare the way of the Lord, to come into our heart, to be born again, to let the Spirit come in, he says, what do we have to do? Repent. Realize you can't do this. Realize you are a sinner. Realize what you need is a Savior. To prepare the hearts, to prepare the soil. You could say it this way, to plow up the ground so it will receive the seed and the water. I mean, around here, if you don't plow up the ground a little bit, the water just runs right off the top. And the old fallow ground, the old hard ground, the ground by the wayside, Jesus talked about the seed, the part where the wagon wheels had just run over it and run over it and run over it and run over it until it was almost like it was blacktop all by itself, except when it got wet and gets slimy on top. But nothing was going much further than that. Years ago, we've been in our house now about 10 years, and bring a downspout and run it over to the yard and kind of get rid of it. And I knew that there was a pipe going down to the drain pond down the bottom part of my land there, and I wanted to bring the downspout water and hook it into that pipe. So I knew about where that pipe was. And so I went out one day and tried to do it. It just did. I mean, it was not moving. I mean, I clink. I mean, it wasn't stones. It was just clay. I mean, it was just bad. Well, then it's been a few years ago. And I thought, well, it's rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. Now, down where I came from, that meant it was wet, you know, down like that. Well, not up here. I got down about 6 inches, and it was as dry, I'm talking to you, and dry as it could be. That was as far as it went. So I got Darren with his backhoe, and we got out there and dug it out. And you know what? For a good little while there, where we put that dirt, where we did that dirt, we trenched it all the way down, put a new line in all the way down to the pond, and then we filled it all back in. You know what? Where we put that grass, it actually got thicker. When we reseeded that spot that we dug up, because it accepted and it grew. I still got spots in that general area there where no grass will grow. Just spots here and there. It's just like, it's dirt, but that's the way we are. So he was preparing our heart to receive the word. Because they're in us, we're dead in sins and trespasses. Now, Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. We cannot keep the law in our own efforts. God must live out the law through us. We say, well, the law, yes. And on these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Love. We're not talking about condemnation. We're not talking about trying to go around and force everybody to believe as we believe or to think like we think. It's talking about love. That doesn't mean you go away from truth, but you stand on truth, but you do so in love. John reveals Jesus as God, full of grace and truth. And we learned that the last 2 weeks. We had the marriage at Cana when he got in the midst of the junk that the world gets into a little bit and didn't endorse it, didn't do it, but he worked around it. But then he went into the temple and cleared it out. There's grace and there's truth. And John shows that Christianity is not religion, but a spiritual relationship with God. I'm dead serious. An actual spiritual relationship with God. Getting saved is not a conversion to another philosophy. It's a spiritual event whereby God in the person of the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the heart of the believer, but only can do so when the sins of that believer are paid for so that he can come into their presence, because you can't go into his presence unless the sin is dealt with. Now 1 Corinthians 15:21 says this, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 5:12. So he says, as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. See, we must have life revived in our hearts as Adam had life at the start. We must be born again of God from above. Let me give you number one. I'm going to show the evidence of the Spirit. There's not a whole lot of specifics here, but it's here. Evidence of the Spirit. Number letter A, watch this. Education is not the Spirit. You can say, well, he's got the Spirit. By the way, personality, humor, all those things can be used by the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that the Spirit is doing that. You know, education is no substitute for the Holy Spirit. They say that when Jonathan Edwards preached his great message, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, he kind of read it. He was a very educated man. But the fact is, his education wasn't going to do that too much if the Spirit wasn't there. And it wasn't his personality. They say by the time he got done, the power of God had gone on. That congregation, they literally hung and clung onto the pews with their white knuckles so they didn't slip into hell right there that night. They just felt the sense of the guilt that they had and the accountability they had for God and cried out for God for mercy. So they're crazy. No, I think they actually got their sense about them, because that's the reality of it. It's either there in that pew, or it's going to be too late when he decides to part from me. I never knew you, and he has his helpers cast us into hell. John 3, verse 1 says this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus had education. He says he's a ruler of the Jews. That means he probably had a very good education. Paul had been under the teaching of Gamaliel, one of the great Jewish scholars, renowned in other places besides the Bible. I mean, he was very well known. And so it's not education. You see, a lot of people think, well, I can do the work of God if I have enough education. Well, the fact is, you ought to get an education. I have nothing wrong with that. That's good. Dr. Smith always said, if you're going to go to the woods and cut wood, well, you ought to sharpen your axe. But the fact is, God can use the jawbone of an ass if he has to, ask Samson, to get his job done. Those were Bible words, just so you know. So he can use anything he wants to do the job. But it's nice to get an education. We ought to make ourselves available and do what we need to do. But education is not the Spirit. Listen, of course, a lot of our folks are out, but we got something here. Every Sunday school teacher, every Sunday school worker, anybody who's trying to lead somebody to Christ, all those kind of things, we do these things in Bachelor Club, teach to lead somebody to the Lord. That's all well and good. You need to know those things. Get educated. Know your Bible. Study to show thyself approved, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got the discipleship program. You're learning these things, and we're going to find it there. That's very, very, very important to know the word of God. But the fact is, just knowing the Word of God is not all that we need. We need to have the Spirit of God to give that Word life. It needs to be in you. And the fact is, the Spirit's going to use you better if you're a clean vessel. He doesn't like delivering a filet mignon on a greasy plate. My mom and dad used to go around all over the place, the antique car club, and every once in a while, she said, yeah, you probably have heard this term, every once in a while they stop and get dinner out of what she called a greasy spoon. You know what I know? What I'm thinking about every once in a while? When there's a little diner out there along the turnpike, you know, back in 1950, 1960, and, you know, not a lot of codes and so forth. You get in there and you're hoping you can wipe off enough of the germs that you're not going to get typhoid before you go home, you know? But God wants to use us. Education is not going to do it. Letter B, authority is not the Spirit. Authority, he was a ruler, a man of high rank. He knew what he was talking about. He was an important man. He's named amongst the Pharisees in the Bible. But, you know, just having authority does not all of a sudden make us useful for God. Now, God can use our positions and our authority, but you need more than that. Well, listen, we don't intimidate somebody to get saved. You can't, because salvation is an exercise of the free will. The Muslim can stand there and shoot everybody they want. They can let them go if they say, well, okay, there's one God whose name is Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. But that doesn't make it in the heart. That doesn't make it true. That's why God doesn't do it that way. I mean, he has more reasons than that, but there's no sense of doing it that way, even if it did work, because it doesn't work. Letter C. Nicodemus saw something extraordinary in Jesus. He saw something extraordinary in Jesus. Now, you know what? Jesus, I don't know if he went to Hebrew school or not, but there's no indication he was well educated. You got letter C there? Nicodemus saw something extraordinary in Jesus. That we see the ruler was a man of high rank. You got them all? I'm missing one? Okay. Jesus, as far as we know, didn't have any formal education. Jesus was from Nazareth, Galilee. Galilee is the wrong side of the tracks. Nazareth is the wrong side of the tracks on the wrong side of the tracks. What did Nathan say? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathaniel. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And yet Nicodemus saw Jesus. Listen, he didn't come in a lot of fancy robes. He wasn't riding in a chariot. He didn't have all the hoopla going on and all the fancy things. He was a carpenter. But he came to Jesus and says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. Come from what? Teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. When it says, thou art a teacher, come from God. The word come from means to come off of God, to have been part of God, almost like you're a clone from him. You're part of him. We know that it's like a piece of God fell off and fell down here to earth, and here you are. Because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He must have God with him, or on him, or in him. But all we know is God is right there. The word rabbi there means master. He called him rabbi, we know. That means one with, here it is, abundant qualifications. There's a specific twist to that word. It means not only are you qualified, but you're abundantly qualified to be in leadership, to be the one we ought to be listening to. He says, rabbi, master, you've got so much going on, even though you don't seem to have a formal education. At least you didn't get around here as far as I saw. And the fact is, he would have known if he got an education in Jerusalem. He would have known that. Pharisees would have known that. He hadn't got that, and he comes from Nazareth. He doesn't really have any authority. He just kind of showed up one day, and John the Baptist, but we're not so sure we want to associate with, said he's the Lamb of God. But we know you've got something that's different. Now, when Jesus was baptized, what happened when he came out of the water? Help me out. Pardon? Yeah. And first thing that happened was the Holy Spirit came down in the bodily form of a dove and landed on him. And then God's word said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. At that point, we had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All in one place at one time. Now, he did his ministry, though, as a Spirit-filled man, even though he was entirely God, but yet he made himself vulnerable to be able to be killed. You can't kill God. So now, we're not going to understand all of this. It'll fry your circuits. But he was all God, but in God's sovereignty, he made himself vulnerable, as a man is, to be tempted all manners such as we, yet without sin. And yet, he said, I always do that which my Father says. That's why he's happy with me. He prays. Why would a God have to pray to God? Because he had put himself in a position he had to live as a Spirit-filled man. And so what I'm saying is, he lived as a man who was Spirit-filled. Now, he says, the works that I do, I don't do them, it's the Father in me. But greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. And if I go to the Father, he will send another comforter. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. And so the whole same Holy Spirit that he has, we have. Now, he was fully yielded because he always does that which the Father says. The problem is we don't. We say, well, we even have any, you talk about miracle work. If it's necessary, within the context of his ministry, what were the miracles to? For? To show him that he's of God. The early disciples had some healings, but you see there's less and less and less of that. You hear less because they had already been established that they were the apostles of God. They had the right to write the word of God. So God, with their sign gifts, the Bible says, so he put them on. So the Spirit can do a lot of things. He does different things at different times, at different points in history, different places in the world. I don't know. I hear, you know, the thing is we get the heebie-jeebies when we start talking about the Holy Spirit and some things he can do. Now, I think we got to be careful. Some people say, well, I want this. And the Spirit's not here to do a magic show. That's what Herod went when Jesus showed up there when he was being at his trial. Well, let's see some tricks. I've heard some things. Didn't do anything. Didn't even talk to him. That's not what he's here for. He's not here to do a magic show. But he is here if it's going to get the people, he's willing to heal. If it's going to get the people attention, then understand, for the healer is here, the one who can save them from their sin, to give them life eternal, not just even temporary life. He was glad that Lazarus died because all of Jerusalem came out to see him. And while all Jerusalem was there, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, no, he's going to stink. Come forth, here he comes. And they all saw, many believed. Even some of the priests believed. But then the rest of them got mad. They wanted to kill him and Lazarus. All this I'm saying is the Holy Spirit is here. He's in us. We don't necessarily, we should not put on him the necessity to do everything like he did in the Bible. We live in a different dispensation, if you will. I'm using that term kind of loosely, but we're living in a different time than that. So be careful with that. We should, watch, but let me say this. We should have obvious evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our interaction with others. That's my point. Nicodemus saw Jesus and said, he's not educated. He doesn't come from a great background, but there's something different. He must come from God. This church should be filled with people. And, you know, we've got a pretty good little testimony, I tell you the truth, to be honest with you. This is not to say the proud, but we all could be a little closer. But every Christian should be known that when he walks nearby, there's just something that is something different about that guy. There's something different about that guy. Ken Ravenstein, we were in a deacon's meeting last night, and he talked about how when he went in the hospital way back some months ago, the first time, and apparently sometime during that first day or two, Pastor Nathan and Pastor Brandon went in to see him. And, the doctor was there, and apparently the way he told the story, apparently they needed to get out of the way. So they prayed with him, and they got out of the way, and there was a doctor or somebody else in there. He said, well, who are those guys? He said, well, they're our assistant pastors. And he said, boy, they're nice young men. They're so polite, friendly, well-spoken, just pleasant people. And apparently, the way he made it sound, one of the nurses, who were those guys? I'll tell you, now, they're not perfect, and I know one of them, and he came from me. But we can be known. But it's more than education, it's more than authority. I'm going to see if some other things, too. I'm going to give number two here. We're not getting very far, I knew that. But I don't want to push, I don't want to rush this. Number two, the necessity of the Spirit. The necessity. We saw the evidence of the Spirit. And we see the necessity of the Spirit. Verse 3. Let me back up. Verse 2, he says, he came by night to Jesus. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except ye be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we read that and we get confused. Let me tell you right off the bat, you understand what I'm saying. He says, you see something different in me? You're not going to have that until you're born again. You saw something different. You like what you saw. You want what you saw. And you can have it. But all the education and all the authority is not what we're talking about. I had a preacher years ago in a little church I grew up in. He wasn't saved. He had no idea if you could know for sure if he died to go to heaven or not. But he had his doctorate degree. And he made sure you knew it. I remember when I was with Dr. Smith, the folks said, he's a doctor. I said, yeah, but he doesn't let that bother him. Dr. Belcher, when he came in, we all wanted to call him Dr. Belcher because that's what we called Dr. Smith, Dr. Smith. He says, I don't know. Call me Dr. Belcher like putting whipped cream on an onion. Just call me Pastor Norris. I'd be happy with it. I still have a hard time calling him Pastor Norris by the first name. I just do. But he just wanted to be who he was. The education is not what makes you a great preacher. This man, this preacher that I grew up with, stood in a Sunday school teachers' meeting and proceeded to tell them, there's not one person in this room that's really fit and qualified to teach a Sunday school lesson. Now, we all know that. And one of the gals said, well, except for the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a cop-out. That's what he said. You know what? Education's a cop-out. Now, you need education. I got a high school diploma, 2 bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate. And I don't even like school, but I want to know the book. But that doesn't make you worth 2 cents in the work of God if you're not willing to let God be the one that works you. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word born there is the word genos. Now, where I came from, we used to have a burger joint called Geno's. You remember the Geno's? That's not what I was talking about here, all right? I just in case you didn't have dinner, no one's to get hungry. But Geno's, it means this, to have the genes of. And I'm not talking about Levi or Wrangler. To have the genes, the DNA of. To be born, to have the genes, means to have been conceived, to have the seed of the Father in you, to be brought forth by, to be gendered by. So you've got to be born again. You've got to have the genes again. In other words, we have the genes of our earthly parents, which are born in sin. But we need to be born again. Number two, again means from above. It also means as it was at first. As from the beginning. To be born again, we think we're talking about our second birth, and it is our second birth. But when it says to be born again, we need to be born again because we are dead in Adam's sin. Adam had to have new life to be able to go to heaven. We have to have new life to go to heaven. We have to have, so to speak, to be born as Adam was born when he, hang on to me, born, so to speak, when he was created. Luke 3:38 says this, which was, you simply have the genealogy there. It says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Now, I know that's in italics, but if you go back and grab the grammar, there's a continuation there. He's saying Adam was of God. He was a direct descendant, so to speak, or creature of God. He didn't come with sin. He sinned and plummeted the rest of us into it, But he was born without. And what happened? When he was sinless, he, listen, in the cool of the evening, he could walk in the garden with the Lord, and their fellowship was sweet. But once sin occurred, separation occurred. They died. They were separated. The life, the spiritual life that Adam had, died. 1 Corinthians 15. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, gendered, gened, conceived from above of God, just like Adam was, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word see means to perceive, to the point of knowing and understanding. Now let me jump right down to letter B and we'll put this all together. Jesus is living and working in the context of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the context here. Number one, the kingdom is the sovereign rule or realm. Sovereign rule or realm. As you put into context there, he says, you must be born again or you'll never be able to understand the rule of God. You'll never be able to understand the kingdom, how God works his kingdom, how things work. You're not going to be able to live by faith because you're going to live by sight because all you have is flesh. You don't have the Spirit to teach you. Unless you become born of God, to have the Spirit of God in you, teaching you, directing you, you're still going to see like the rest of the world sees it. You're never really going to see it as God sees it. Listen. There are people, and I can give who will give testimony tonight if I ask you to. There was a day when you never thought in the world you'd be in the church on a Wednesday night. But then it comes, after a while, it comes to a point where you don't think, I don't want to miss it. All you're going to do is go hear Sterling Walsh yell for 45 minutes, or it's usually an hour. But, all you're going to do, you're going to hear this come on. But somebody else is going to come and say, we had one of our ladies, and she's here tonight, I don't want to embarrass her, but she said, you come, you stomp all over my toes. I love it. Because the understanding of God, seeing the kingdom of God says, I'm a sinner, I want to do right, I want to see God's blessing, I want to be closer to him. So whatever it is that's in my life that needs to come out, squeeze it out, preacher. Push it out. It's like going to the doctor and have them take care of a boil. But you want to get rid of this thing. You want to get rid of the infection. Listen, it's going to hurt real bad. But then it's going to get better. And it's not going to hurt at all. In fact, you've been walking around like this, for the last two weeks because you don't want to go to the doctor and deal with it. But in 3 or 4 days... after you've been there, your step's a little lighter. You're moving a little faster. I've never had a boil, but I'm just kind of surmising here. But you know what I'm talking about. I had a pimple a couple times, pretty big. Not that big. You know what I'm saying? Don't get gross on you there. All right. Now, so he says, Nicodemus says, I know you're from God. Because nobody can do these things except they're from God. And it's almost like he jumped all the way to, and greater works shall ye do because I go to the Father. But he says, I'm working my way up here. So I'll tell you what we need to do. He says, listen to me and we'll tell you the truth. This is truth. Nick, listen to me, Nick. This is true. I'm telling you. Except a man be regened, made new from God, from above, you'll never be able to understand, comprehend the rule, the realm, the power, the authority, the might, the essence of all that God has for you. He's going to lead him to salvation to begin with. That's how you get there. But he said, "You think this is something, do you? It's possible. You want this? You got to be born again. Jesus says the difference between them is whether you're born of the Spirit or born of the flesh only. If you are born once, you will only understand life, and here it is, the context of the physical world, the flesh. You can try to understand the Word of God, and you can certain things you will be able to understand. But people are going to say, well, it's just a foolish book. It doesn't even make a whole lot of sense. That's because, I didn't mention this at the beginning. The Spirit of God is, besides the fact that Jesus is God, another very important theme in the book of John is the Holy Spirit. You get in the middle there in chapter 14, 15, 16. I'm telling you what, he's getting ready to let those boys loose. He's going to go get crucified. They're going to be there all by themselves. He said, but wait a minute, wait, you're not all by yourselves. I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said, I've been doing this for 3.5 years in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. In fact, it's to your benefit that I go to the Father so that you can do those works. And so, listen, what you need to rely on is the Holy Spirit. Now, again, for some reason, during the 70s and 80s, maybe 60s, 70s, and 80s, there was an awful lot of folks who saw great churches built with programs and this and that and the other thing. And I really think that the Lord was leading some of those great men with the Holy Spirit, and he led them to do certain things. But people saw the things he did rather than the Holy Spirit behind what he did. And they started building empty ministries, busy ministries. And then you've got all these people who come out of the ministry and they feel like they have to escape fundamentalism. You know why? Because, listen, we stopped doing it the way we're supposed to do it. Some of you folks a little older, you kind of know what I'm talking about. They stopped doing it. They had a lot of programs, but they still wanted all the standards and everything to look good. So what do? They preach standards instead of walk with God. That brings you to the standards. The standards are good, but the standard's not God. They need to know what the standard is. You ought to know what God wants. But the fact is, though, sometimes we draw a line on the standard that God wouldn't draw the same line someplace else in the world. I've said it before. If I was a preacher in the Philippines, I probably wouldn't wear a tie and jacket. They got one of those Hawaiian shirt things with a funny little collar on there, and that's what they wear. Because that's what everybody wears, whether you're a preacher or not, to show respect. The Sainis, when Mrs. Saini passed away, they have a Hindu background. They're Christian. They're Christian. They're saved and all that. But they have a Hindu background, and so when they go to a funeral, they dress in white. I didn't even think about it. I dress in my black suit like everybody else. That's what you do in some of these other cultures. You dress in white. Now we're going to rake them over the coals because they dressed wrong? They don't dress like we do. They must be wrong. No, that's not true. You see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is where we need to go back to the core. And so that's where we got ourselves in trouble. And so these young people went through and said, why are we doing it? Because this is what we do. That's God. You're going to do it until you're always under my roof. That's what you're going to do. Well, okay. And when they were no longer under my roof, they went and did their own thing if the Lord didn't get a hold of their heart in between. Can I get a witness back here, Sarah? Do you see some kids grew up like that? You know what I'm saying? And so we got to go back and catch them and let them realize what was the Lord trying to do in the first place. And did they mean well? Yes. Love them for they meant well. But it's the Spirit. Some of those boys and girls, they feel like they went to youth group, they did this, they did that, and they sang in the youth choir, and they went to youth conference and all this stuff, and they came back and they had fun and all those things. Well, they must be good Christian kids. They obeyed all the rules, and then somehow they go back and say, I don't know what happened. They lost their faith. If they had their faith, they're not going to lose it. The Bible says if they were of us, they would no doubt have stayed with us, but they went out from us to manifest they weren't of us. It was nice to do for a little while, but it wasn't part of their heart. Listen, the Holy Spirit comes in, you become one with the Spirit. You are with him. Now, you may not act like you're one with him, but he's in you. He's not leaving. And either you're going to enjoy his presence or you're going to be miserable. It's going to be like trying to go to the bar with your mother. Looking over your shoulder, you're going to go down there and the Holy Spirit's going, no, no, Don't you dare. Leave that thing alone. Don't talk to her. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you. And you might tell them to sit down and be quiet. You might get pretty good at it. But you end up with that conflict. Spirit against the flesh. The flesh and flesh against the spirit. They're contrary one to another. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's time to stop. Let me do one little thing here, and then we'll finish up here. I give you number two. If you are born once, you will only understand life in the context of the physical world, the flesh. If you are born again from above, you now also have understanding available to you from God. Now, whether you take advantage of that understanding is your choice. You chose tonight to come out in the cold and the wind and be here. You may not have, you may not get everything I have. Maybe you know a lot of what I've already talked about. There might have, but the fact is, I really pray that every time you come here, there's at least one thing that you say that solidified something, it clarified something, or there's something I forgot about. I've let that slip. I need to pull that back in place. This is what I want. I want to see God do something. It's going to change your heart. Let me do letter C, and we'll stop there. I'll read that one scripture. Listen to it. I want you to see. Spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is, you have that on, you don't have it on your paper, do you? Open your Bible and let's look at that. We're almost done. I want you to see this. You might need to write something in the margin. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I don't want you to let. He said, if you're going to understand the kingdom of God, you're not going to understand, you're not going to see, you're not going to perceive unless you're born again, unless you're born from above, unless you have the genes of God inside teaching you this. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The natural man has no idea. Why do you go to church? What a waste of time. What a waste of money. This is, you're an idiot. What are you doing? You're wasting your time. Then you got somebody gets saved and says, I want everything I can get. You become a cheerful giver. I've watched this. I'm better off today now than before I started tithing. He says, it hasn't entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The things you never thought you could understand, all of a sudden it's like, that makes sense. That makes sense. Why doesn't everybody believe this? Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. All a man can know is what man knows. Sees things as man sees them. He qualifies things as men qualify things. He's measured them. His priorities are man's priorities. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You don't get spiritual things from education, is not going to do it. You don't get spiritual things from an unspiritual man. God knows these things, you, and there's certain things you're ever going to understand. You're going to have to get them from God. And if you're going to get them from God, you're going to have to get God. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, we already had him, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, what's he saying? What's he saying? When I'm born again, when I'm born from above, I will be able to see the kingdom of God. I'm going to be able to see the kingdom as God sees the kingdom. We see this, we get all scared of this. God says, this is nothing. You don't wrestle about with flesh and blood against principalities and powers and spirits of wisdom. Listen, I says there's a whole thing. It's almost like the prophet who I think was it his buddy Gad. He said, what are we going to do? He said, Lord, let him see. And he saw all the hosts of God surrounding the valley and then said, we're going to be okay because God's the one that's fighting for us. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So some people, you say, well, I don't know the answers. I don't even know what questions today I should be asked. You know what I'm saying? You ever get like that? Sometimes like that with the things of God. It all starts with getting saved, become born again. But it's not 1, 2, 3, pray after me. Is I'm a sinner headed for hell, and if God doesn't save my wretched soul, I'm going there. God gives grace to the humble, resists the proud. Verse 14, but the natural man, that means the man who has never received Christ, he's just a regular guy, he was born like everybody else is born, born once, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. You know what they are? It's Charlie Brown and wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. You know, guys, when you're watching the game and your wife starts talking to you, what do you hear? And you don't know what she said because you're not listening. You got a whole different vocabulary right now that you've got tuned in. Same thing goes. If we're not saved, it's like there's a whole new world. They say when Billy Sunday went into some of the towns in the area, in fact, he worked his way up this way. They said that there were some coal mines. By the time he got done, he'd go in these camps and preach. By the time they got done, they had to retrain the mules to pull the wagons because they couldn't understand the guys because they used a different vocabulary. They didn't understand the words anymore. Something changes. 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. What do you mean I can't know them? You can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have a spirit, no, but your spirit's dead. It's got to be born again. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual, his spirit is alive, judgeth all things. In other words, he understands these things. He can figure them out. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who has the mind of God so that God can instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Because he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There's some other good stuff we're going to get to. We're only about halfway done. I tell you what, there was one particular time in my life, some years ago, married. Well, started a little bit before I was married, but really it was after I married, early on, where I decided I wanted a filling of the Holy Spirit. I want God to do something with me. If you don't care about it, you probably won't get it. Are you saved? You can be saved. That's a gift of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner and you believe that he died and paid for your sins, and you're willing to trust that and that alone, you've got salvation. But that's just the beginning. That is just the beginning. There's a sweetness that comes. And sometimes, you know what, sometimes the most quiet people are the ones who have it the deepest. They don't go out putting on a show. They just spend time with the Lord. So I don't understand that. Well, he says there's some reason why some people don't see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, I want our folks to know you. And Lord, this is for everyone. We go back to Joel. You said, hey, the maidservants, the manservants, the young and the old, and everybody. You said you're going to pour out your spirit. It's for everybody to have that walk with you, the fullness. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to search and desire for it. have that joy and that peace and the filling, and see the fruit. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And, Lord, to be one here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, don't have that squared away, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. We thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together.